Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. There is more evidence than ever that what we eat truly affects how we feel. Research shows that eating plant-based foods, ideally a vegan diet, can help lower your risk of heart disease, diabetes, cancer, obesity, and even mental health issues. Our featured guest today is Chef Mark Reinfeld, the author of the new book, Healing the Vegan Way, Plant-Based Eating for Optimal Health and Wellness. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, I just returned from a three-day science conference in Pismo Beach, California, which is called the Berries Health Benefits Symposium. And there's some interesting research that was shown all about the health benefits of berries. You know, berries are a low-calorie treat that is high in fiber and also very high in antioxidants. And there's a wide variety of berries available, including blueberries, blackberries, strawberries, cranberries, raspberries, lingonberries, those ones from Sweden, and gooseberries. The phytonutrients and flavonoids that are inherent in berries are theorized to prevent the growth of certain types of cancer. And some berries contain lutein, which is important for maintaining good vision. Blueberries, a good source of stabilizing and strengthening blood vessels, are also a wonderful berry to include in your diet. And cranberries, in their whole unsugared form, are well reputed for helping ease bladder infections. And all berries are helpful choices for blood sugar regulation. So include more variety of healthy berries in your diet every day.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is it true that a vegan diet can heal, even cure, many diseases? Well, simply put, a whole food, plant-based diet is by far the most powerful healing modality that I really know of. And it is affordable, it's life-sustaining, it can fight hunger, and it's also good for our planet as an antidote for all that ails us as individuals as well as society. We'll talk more about this today with our special guest, Chef Mark Reinfeld, the author of the book, Healing the Vegan Way.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And our featured guest today is Chef Mark Reinfeld. And Mark is the 2017 inductee into the Vegetarian Hall of Fame. He is a multi-award winning chef and author of 7 books, including the best-selling 30-Minute Vegan series and his latest book that we'll be talking about today, Healing the Vegan Way. Mark has over 20 years of experience preparing creative vegan and raw cuisine. In 2012, he has served as the executive chef for the North American Vegetarian Society's Summerfest. He has offered consulting services for clients such as Google, Whole Foods, Bon Appetit Management, and many more. Mark was the founding chef of the Blossoming Lotus Restaurant, voted the best restaurant in Kauai. That's on the island of Kauai in Hawaii. And I might mention that's where I first met Mark because I lived in Hawaii for 15 years, and it was a great vegan restaurant on the island of Kauai. Now, Mark's first cookbook, Vegan Fusion World Cuisine, has won 9 national awards, including Best Vegetarian Cookbook in the USA. Mark is the recipient of Vegan.com's Recipe of the Year Award and Aspen Center for Integral Health's Platinum Carrot Award. Through his vegan fusion company, he offers consulting services, vegan and raw cooking workshops, and chef trainings internationally. Well, Mark, welcome to Health and Longevity.
Hey, John. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you on the program today. And I have before me your book, Healing the Vegan Way, Plant-Based Eating for Optimal Health and Wellness. And I have to tell our listeners, this is an excellent book. I highly recommend it. It is published by DeCapo Lifelong. And I've thought so highly of this book, I even wrote an endorsement. And on the back of the book cover, I have this endorsement. And it goes like this. It says, when plant foods are incorporated into healthy recipes and diets, they can play a critical role in treating and even reversing common diseases we face today. Healing the Vegan Way is a valuable, practical guide that shows us the way to enjoy optimal health. I'm honored to have that quote on the back cover of your book. And tell me, Mark, how did you first become a vegan?
Actually, I was on a kibbutz, and it was around 1990, and I started connecting with animals in their natural setting, and I just developed this love for them. And up until that point, I really didn't give much thought to what I ate. And during that trip is when I began my vegetarian journey, and then vegan came a little more slowly, just I started to feel better without the dairy and egg.
Now, how did your culinary career develop? I guess you got interested in plant-based eating and then went to the culinary field, huh?
Well, interestingly, my grandfather was a renowned chef and ice carver in the 50s, and he was carving ice till his dying days with in a wheelchair, an oxygen tank, and a chainsaw. He was very colorful character, and he just had the influence on me. And after that trip to Israel, I went to law school actually for a semester and then realized that that wasn't the direction I wanted to head in my life. So I moved out west in San Diego and started working in a health food store out there. And then from there, just getting a lot of practice in the kitchen, I went off and then started the Blossoming Lotus. This was like in 1998.
And that restaurant, Blossoming Lotus, was quite a restaurant. And I know when word got around throughout the Hawaiian Islands, every time people were over in Kauai, they went to that restaurant. You had great food there. And I know that every time I went to Kauai, that's where I ate, because that was about the healthiest and best cuisine anywhere. Tell us a little bit about that Blossoming Lotus. I know it's not around anymore, unfortunately, but it was quite a pioneering effort there in Kauai.
Yeah, we left the big splash out there in Hawaii with that. Well, the Blossoming Lotus originally started as actually a private chef service that I was offering in Malibu, California. And then when I went to Kauai, I teamed up with people there and we formed the Blossoming restaurant there. And there are many people involved, and the co-author of the first cookbook I did, Bo Rinaldi, was a major investor in the project there. We actually opened a Blossoming Lotus in Portland, which we passed on a couple of years ago. So there's still a very slight imprint of the original Blossoming Lotus, but there is a thriving Blossoming Lotus in Portland.
Oh, in Portland today. Okay. And the I think you had someone quite renowned, Jane Goodall, wrote the foreword to it, didn't she?
Yeah, so that was, Bo made an introduction, and that was what actually sparked the creation of the cookbook, was that he met one of her colleagues, and he thought that she would lend her voice to a vegan cookbook, and so that was actually for the book.
Okay. Healing the Vegan Way is your seventh book. Can you touch on maybe the other books briefly and then let us know about the theme, about how Healing the Vegan Way came about?
The first book, Vegan Fusion World Cuisine, is really like a celebration of the world's culture, beauty, wisdom, and cuisine. And it's all in a book. And then after that, I was approached to do The Idiot's Guide to Eating Raw, which is a book on raw foods. And then I had a strong interest in quick and easy meals. So we created the 30-Minute Vegan. And then there are four books in that series. We followed with The Taste of the East, which is Asian theme, Taste of Europe, which is European recipes. And then we did the 30-Minute Vegan Soups On. And that was, I like to promote that as vegan soups for the chicken soul.
Mm.
And then it takes a while for that one to sink in a little. Then the healing qualities of foods have always been something that I've been fascinated with. And just, you know, better than most people, the idea of it, like letting food be our medicine. So that was really the doorway that we entered in through with the Healing the Vegan Way book.
Now, you have quite a few experts that have participated in working with you on Healing the Vegan Way. Maybe you can mention some of the leading scientists and physicians and other nutritionists that have written portions of the book.
Sure. And through my work at the Vegetarian Summer Fest, I've come in contact with a lot of the leading plant-based medical doctors and nutritionists. And so I really wanted to like assemble kind of like a powerhouse statement from each of them to just like, give me your best, you know, take on why this diet is, you know, optimal. So I have Dr. Clapper wrote the foreword, and we have contributions from Dr. Greger, Dr. Kahn, Hans Diehl submitted, and he actually helped review the meal plan. And then Brenda Davis and Juliana Haver contributed, as well as and Neil, Dr. Barnard wrote a little blurb, as well as yourself. So we really rounded out the experts for that one.
Well, it's great. Let's talk about that book. And you have a number of recipes. Maybe kind of go over the book here with us as far as how you break that up, because the first parts, of course, you talk a lot about a vegan diet and how it can heal. And let's talk a little bit about that to start off with. How do you see a vegan diet play a role in medicine, in the healing process of disease, not only preventing, but even treating? And a lot of evidence to show today that we can even potentially reverse disease, particularly the common disease that we face in our country today.
Yeah. For me, it's I like to frame this that we're really still at the very beginning stages of fully understanding the impact that our food choices have on our health. And I know it's just a matter of time before a lot of these major conditions that you mentioned, such as like heart disease, diabetes, high cholesterol, certain forms of cancer. I mean, there's a host of other conditions, but those are the big ones where it's showing that people who are embrace a plant-based lifestyle are able to prevent and in many cases actually reverse these diseases. So for me, it will be a growing awareness that many of these conditions are really diet and lifestyle related. And while genetics does play a part, that the diet and lifestyle is a huge factor within our control that could help us regain control over our health more.
Now, in part two of your book, you have the recipes, 200 recipes for every season. So is it total? It easily looks like you got 200. Is it 200 recipes exactly you have in the book?
There's actually 200, actually more than 200 recipes are in there. And the style of recipe that I like to do is what I call a template recipe format, where I break a recipe down into its component parts. And then by changing each component, you create a new recipe. So there's actually the formula for thousands and thousands of recipes in the book.
Now, let's talk about one of the first sections in here. When someone, let's say, wants to go on a total plant-based diet, a vegan diet, you know, there's some changes maybe they need to do in the kitchen. And you talk a little bit about preparing your kitchen to get ready for this. What types of things do you need to prepare your kitchen for? I know there's some probably certain types of food processors and other types of pantry items you need in the kitchen. Maybe go over some of that.
So usually I don't like to intimidate people, give them a list of 50 things that they need to pick up in order to get started to eat healthy. You could really just with like a good knife and a cutting board, you can go a long way. And then from there, I would build up to like a blender is really useful, especially when you get into more raw food preparation. And then if you wanted a food processor as well, like with those, you could go pretty far. And then as far as ingredients, there's like just the core ingredients that you would find, like, and mainly stocking up on some, you know, an assortment of produce, different grains and legumes that you like. And then there are certain products, like for me, for vegans, using nutritional yeast, well, fortified nutritional yeast, which you may need to go to a health food store to pick that up. But that helps on the vegan diet round out a lot of the nutritional by providing like the B12 and some protein. So that's one of my top key pantry items that I recommend for vegans.
Let's talk about some of the recipes briefly. I'd like to know, you know, you have breakfast recipes, you even have teas, elixirs, and juices, and smoothies, and different types of snacks, and main dishes, and soups, and stews, and dressings, and sauces, and salads, and main dishes, and of course, desserts, healthier desserts that fit within a healthy lifestyle. What are some of the, maybe give us two or three of your favorite recipes that you've included in this book?
My go-to meal that I like is what I call a monk bowl, which I included in there, which is really our go-to meal for like lunches and dinners, which is essentially a green and a protein. And then using that template format I mentioned, you could rotate through different grains such as quinoa, which is actually a seed, or millet, buckwheat, and then for the greens, it could be any vegetables of your choosing. And then for the proteins, I rotate through personally tempeh, tofu, and the legumes. So I really like that recipe because it's what our go-to meal is. And even though it sounds simple, you can create a lot of variety by altering the different components in the dish. And then another one I like, there's a recipe for just a mixed berry green smoothie, which you could also unlock hundreds of recipes with that one too. And those are like simple recipes. We also have like cauliflower mushroom tacos, which I really like. There's baked falafel. The guiding principle for the recipes was I wanted to keep an eye on like the fat, sugar, and salt content. And so they're geared with those variables in mind.
Well, very good. And I noticed that because a lot of the doctors use a vegan diet and plant-based diet like this for treatment of disease, are, you know, there's a trend with many of the doctors to make the recipes without the use of added oils. And you do that, don't you?
I listed a variation. Every recipe has an oil-free variation for mm-hmm. those who are following that. And that is definitely a trend in the plant-based world. So I wanted to honor that by, just at least making sure that every recipe had an oil-free variation and actually a gluten-free variation as well.
Okay. Now, I saw that, you've been recently inducted into the Vegetarian Hall of Fame. A lot of people don't realize that the vegetarian world has a Hall of Fame as well. Can you share with us that experience? How did that happen?
It's actually through the North American Vegetarian Society Summerfest. Since 1990, they've been inducting. They induct one or two people a year. And so I was there at the last Summerfest, and they did a big presentation where it felt like my whole life flashed before me during the presentation. And so it was definitely a real honor, and I felt super grateful to be part of the North American Vegetarian Society community. So definitely one of the highlights of my journey so far.
Well, congratulations on that award. That's great. Now, you travel the world, and this is a great thing that you're doing nowadays. You travel the world literally teaching workshops and trainings that can help people learn about this type of cuisine. For some people, you know, this is brand new type of cooking. They've never cooked like this before. And then there's other people who never cook, but this is motivating them to learn their culinary skills and making healthy plant-based meals. Tell us a little about those travel and the trainings that you're doing.
So yeah, I've been teaching classes probably since 1998 on and off, vegan cooking classes. And the last several years, I've been traveling internationally doing these two-day trainings, three-day workshops, up to 10 days. And for me, I like to call it a form of activism called food activism, where by empowering people to learn these skills, you're helping them to take their health back into their own hands, as well as you well know, also about the environmental impact of a plant-based diet. So we're helping preserve our environment and also to create a more peaceful world. So everything I do, I like to fit in that category of what I call food activism.
I understand that you're doing a lot of work with different corporations and consulting them that you've been doing over the past 20 years or so. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing in the corporate world and teaching them about this plant-based diet.
In the corporate world, there's definitely a growing increase in demand for plant-based cuisine. So a lot of the chefs who are working in food service, who have gone to professional culinary school, they don't have the same background in vegan and raw food cuisine. So actually, it was I've been doing corporate consulting where I'll work with food service chefs at Aramark. And a recent one I did, it was with Bon Appetit Management Company up in the Northeast, where they brought in several of their executive chefs from different accounts like John Hopkins University and Wolfgang Puck's and a lot of these big food service providers. And I conduct what I call like corporate chef training. So I would create a vegan recipe manual and then also help train the chefs on vegan and raw food recipes with this idea of template recipes in mind. So giving them the tools to create a lot of plant-based options in whatever food service they're working in.
You know, you address this in your book, and this is a common thing with health professionals when we're trying to teach people about a plant-based diet. There's a lot of myths about plant-based diets that are out there. And of course, this is a real challenge these days because you have some doctors saying negative things about plant-based diets. And of course, the research shows that this is the more optimal way to go. What are some of the biggest myths that you hear about as you go and educate people about this type of diet?
Well, you're probably aware of the big protein myth that that vegans can't get enough protein. And for that, I love referring people to veganbodybuilding.com, mm-hmm. just pointing out the many like high performance athletes that are winning weightlifting competitions, ultra marathons, mixed martial artists, football players, the guy who's dubbed the strongest man in the world, who lifted the heaviest weight and carried it the furthest, was a vegan. So a lot more of these athletes are really breaking that big stereotype. That's probably one of the big ones. And then also the one I personally like dispelling is just the idea that vegan food is bland or somehow can't satisfy us. So to me, that's where actually the food activism part comes in for me, because if you can have as much intellectual understanding in the world about why you should be eating more plants, but if you can't get the food to taste good, then it really, I don't think, goes very far. So that's why I love working with people to dispel that myth.
Well, I know that because, you know, and this is the whole thing. I've worked with vegan food companies and developing nutrition products and vegan food products and so forth, and worked in the culinary field also. And, you know, the whole thing is, the rule is taste rules. Mm. And whether it's vegan or whether it's any type of diet, if it tastes good and it looks good, that's the whole key, isn't it? To win people over to a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah, that's a great, great quote. I may adopt that. That's a good one.
Okay, so we're coming to the end of our interview here, but just give some basic suggestions for those wishing maybe to start a plant-based lifestyle.
For me, I like just encouraging people initially just to get more creative with their salads. It's a really, most people, pretty much everyone has salads. So just start thinking a little out of the box when it comes to your salads. Maybe go to the produce aisle and just pick up an ingredient that you haven't worked with before, or add things just like even nuts and seeds, or cut the vegetables a little differently. You could add grains like quinoa or rice or different legumes to make your salad a little more of an exciting experience than most people. Like a lot of people's salad experiences, iceberg lettuce and cherry tomatoes. So there's a lot more to the salad world to be explored with lots of great different greens available. And then another tip is I like encouraging people to create their own spice blends or have spice blends on hand. Mm. So you could have an Italian mix, Mexican, Ethiopian, Moroccan, and then really you could turn even just like a bowl of quinoa into a global cuisine extravaganza just by adding your different spice blends. And that's another tip. And then also I like encouraging people to create superfood smoothies where you can get a lot of the high nutrient plant food based nutrients in, you typically at the beginning of the day. So you could mix in some greens and some fruit, as well as like chia seeds, hemp seeds, cacao, a maca powder. There's lots of good high nutrient plant foods on the market now that we could get that energy and nutrient first thing in the morning.
Our guest today has been Chef Mark Reinfeld. He's the author of Healing the Vegan Way. It's an outstanding book published by DaCapo Long Life and filled with great recipes, great health information, in showing people a better way of health and nutrition through an all plant-based diet. Mark, for those people that would like to learn more about you and your work and keep in touch, and I know you have a lot of resources through the internet and then through your programs and so forth, how do they contact you?
You could reach me through my main website is veganfusion.com, and also with my wife, a naturopathic, we have something called The Doctor and the Chef, which is we offer live events, and we have a monthly membership site there where people can get vegan recipes and vegan naturopathic medical tips. And that's doctorandchef.com. So either veganfusion.com is a good way, and I'm very accessible through email if people have any questions. I love helping people feel more confident in the plant-based world.
Well, thank you so much, Mark, for being on the program today, and keep up the great work as you show people a healthier way to live for a longer and healthier life.
Thank you so much, John. It's always an honor to be in your presence. Thank you.
Thank you.
You'll have less reason to fret about getting sick if you keep your immune system healthy. How do you do that? This is registered dietitian nutritionist Toby Smithson. Strengthen your immune system by eating right. At each meal, skip foods with refined grains and go with whole grain bread, whole grain pasta, or brown rice. At breakfast, include foods rich in calcium and vitamin C and D. Vegetables are great for snacking, and for something sweet, have some fruit.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's it for this week's program. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.